idea who Cribs are, so we're not going to assume anything. But I know I've been coming to this church for a few years now, on and off. And I'm conscious that some of you will know this really, really well and others not so well. But Christian Resources in Bexley Schools. And this is Simon and this is Hannah. And we've been 25 years ago this year, I started going into schools. And that's quite a story in itself. So this is us. Thank you. And this is some of the team, not all of them. And we come from different churches across Bexley and further afield as well. And we are based at a school in Bexley called St. Columbus School. And that's our home, which is amazing provision of God, that we've got rooms there. And we do some work in that school as well, but they give us some free accommodation, and it's a real blessing to us. And this is taken out there in the room in one of the offices that we've got there at school. And I thought it'd be great for you to meet some new people in Cribs that you may not have met before. And these two lovely people put their hand up when I said, I'm coming to SBC. They said, we'll come with you. So that's awesome. So let's have Simon, first of all. And so Simon is the business manager in Cribs. I know.
It's not rather grand, isn't it?
It's not that glamorous.
And so I thought it'd be good to just interview Simon and just find out what it's like to work for Cribs and some of the stories that he wants to share, some of the inside information that he might want to dish out today. Okay, so welcome, Simon. It's good to have you
Thank
here.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And you've done a number of things in your life. So how does Cribs work actually compare with all the other jobs you've done? And you've been around.
Okay.
Done things.
He's been
places.
I've been around, yeah. You can tell it in my face, can't you? See the lines. But I joined the Navy when I was just coming up for my 18th birthday. And so I was a submariner for 12 and a half years. And so that was quite exciting. Used to travel around. When I was in the Navy, it was the Cold War. Some people won't even know what that is, I guess. So it was different. Mind you, it's, you know, the way things are today, it's a bit unusual, isn't it? A bit difficult. But anyway, I would have to say, recently, when we got our interviewed by the trustees, what's our yearly...
Appraisal,
that's the word, that's what I'm trying to think of. I said, this is the best job I've ever had. It's the most exciting job I've ever had because it just really keeps me on my toes and there's always something going on. So, yeah, I've had a few jobs in my time, but I guess the Navy was the longest. I'm just loving working for Cribs.
And what does the business manager actually do?
A lot of stuff, actually. When I got interviewed some time ago, there was a list of jobs, and then I went away, and when I came back, the list had got this long. so false pretenses, I was hired under false pretenses. But I just sort of prepare the budgets, and I keep all the vehicles running. I support the team in any way I can. I make sure that their computers are working, And I drive the bus. That's one of the great perks, is I get to drive a big double-decker bus. So I had a quick learning curve in learning how to drive that. It's really good fun. And I have to keep it running, and then I have to do spray jobs when it gets a chip out of it here and there. It's such a varied job. And, sometimes I find myself leading worship, and sometimes I find myself acting in plays. You know, and I can't help but think, just this week, Nicola, one of our secondary team, came into our office, and she saw me sort of fully into a great big Excel sheet of figures, and I was up close to the screen, and she said, Simon, there's no way I would ever want your job, right? And I said, Nicola, there's no way I would ever want your job. She said, your job looks so hard, and I said, it's nothing compared to you. I'm tremendous in it, you know, I have tremendous admiration for the team that go out every day into the classes and do what they do, because that's not me. And sitting in the room, the back room, and getting on with stuff, that's the stuff I like to do. And I love it when it's quiet, when they're all at the office, and I can really get stuff done. So I can't help but think that God really knew, you know, he found me this place where I could use what, you know, the things that I've got in such a varied way. So I feel like I'm in the right place, and that just makes me very happy to be doing what I'm doing.
Awesome. And you you do lots of publicity.
Yeah, that's one of my jobs, yeah.
This is one of your things. He produces these amazing things. So today, by the way, if you want to know more about Cribs, then obviously we've got loads of stuff. We've got a little table over here, and you're welcome to come along. This is the annual report, and these are all sorts of things that you do.
Yeah, when I left the Navy, I became, my wife Caroline, sitting on the corner there, we bought a printing company, and I really got into graphic design. So the things like the banners and all of our printed material, I really love producing stuff like that. So I hope you like it.
Yeah, it's great. We love it. It's amazing. And you do some fundraising as well. I know you do publicity, and we work hard to keep our fundraiser happy, don't we?
We do.
And it's been amazing. Can you just comment on the fact that, I mean, this is a generous church, and the reason we're here today is in part because we want to say thank you to this church for all their support over the years. And we every year, we keep pushing the boat out, don't we?
We do.
And we keep looking for more. I'm really ambitious for the kingdom of God, because I believe God wants us to think big, and I think he wants us to impact a generation for him. So we've grown, haven't we? Do you want to talk about that and what God's done, what you've seen God do firsthand?
Well, Cribs has doubled in size, and I joined 4 years ago this May. So in the number of people and the number of sort of man hours we're doing, we've doubled in size. So it's quite a fast growth. And, the budget keeps growing every year. Gordon tells me what he wants to achieve in the year, and we work out a budget based on that. And then I look at the figures, and I think, how are we going to do that? And actually, we have been stepping out in faith each time, and we've been stepping out bigger. And this year, or over the last year, we've just come to the end of our financial year. You know, we needed to raise an additional £60,000 on top of last year's budget, which was like a 25% increase. We have fallen short of that by, haven't got the report come back, but it looks like around £7,000. So that's not very far off, is it? So God blesses us, and then he just says, now you've got to still keep in faith. So we just get adventures. I thought I'm going to be singing and dancing in the street if we hit this budget. And fortunately, I don't have to, because we didn't quite make it. And our expenditure was pretty much exactly what we said it was going to be. So, so it's an exciting place to be. Really is.
Awesome. So we're really grateful. Thank you, Simon. Would you like to give him a round of applause? Thank you so much. Just quickly, and then I'm going to introduce you to Hannah. So we do a number of different things. So in case you're new to us today, just look at the screen. Thank you, Rachel. We're going to we do a number of projects. You see all these different names of different things that we do. So we work in schools exclusively. That's our where we operate. And we do all these things here. You can see the names there. We do loads of them. Thank you. For example, let's just pick on one of them. We do these plays every year at Christmas and Easter. We love to communicate the story of Jesus. We believe that actually true wisdom comes to us when we know the source. And we are the receivers of the wisdom of God, because Jesus, that's what his name is. He's like the wisdom of God. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom. And we get to access them as God's people. Isn't that amazing? But it's true, absolutely true. So we do these plays, and we believe that actually little by little, drip feeding the gospel, the good news of Jesus into children's lives is making an impact. We meet parents today, because we've been around for a little while, who remember plays that I performed in their schools years ago. And they can tell me quite to remarkable detail what we did back then. So it's amazing. So we do these plays in schools, which is a real privilege. We've actually now branched into secondary schools doing plays for the first time. Last year we did a Christmas play, and the year before that. And then we've done an Easter play, which was amazing, in secondary schools. And Hannah helped us with that. So that was terrific. So we do plays, we love drama, and we love to communicate the best story of all. Thank you. And then we also do these lessons in schools called Refresh. And we had a big part to play in the development of the Bexley syllabus for religious education. And we teach loads of lessons. In fact, there are 120 lessons in the Christian lessons in the Bexley syllabus, probably more than any other syllabus in the country. And it's incredibly Christian. And we've got some amazing lessons that we teach. So we teach about 1,500 children every week in our lessons. And we've got an amazing team of people doing that and making a massive impact. Thank you. And then we've got these things called Boys Noise and BU. And they're projects that we run. They're kind of like intervention projects for children. So our strapline in Cribs is living values and growing faith. And we're keen to share the values that we believe shape our lives and make us the people we are. But we also want to grow faith in children. We do that both explicitly and implicitly. We do that by modelling what that means to be a follower of Jesus, but also by teaching explicitly about him. So we do both of those ways. We engage with children. And currently we're working in Boys Noise in six schools in the borough in a very intensive way. We go in 2 days a week into those classes and we work with small groups of boys who are struggling for all sorts of reasons with their learning. And we just speak truth into them. We speak life into them. This is the lovely Hannah, and she's going to come. I'm going to just interview Hannah. Thank you. If we can have the next slide, I think. So this is Hannah, and she's the BU leader in Cribs. She's only just started, actually. So how long?
Just over a month.
Yeah.
I think.
So
maybe a bit more than that.
Really, a new girl on the block, and so that's brilliant. The newest. What did you do before? What have you done? Why did you want to join Cribs?
So before I joined Cribs, I was working for a Christian theatre and education company. So taking plays round to mainly faith schools all over the country, looking at. Yeah, I suppose sort of living values, gospel-centred issues, yeah. Looking at sex and relationships in secondary schools, and slightly less hardcore issues in primary schools. through that, I suppose God really showed me how desperate the need is for children to connect with something more. They're searching so desperately for a bit of time out, for their emotional and spiritual needs to be met. There's such a desperate need for it in the education system. I think there's a big gap, so it's a real privilege to get to come and still be a part of filling that and encouraging these young people.
Which is great. So we started this thing called Boys Noise, which was for boys who are struggling. And then the school said, we can't just do it for boys. We've got to do something for girls because that just isn't, it's just not right. So we started a year ago, over a year ago, we started something called BU, which is like a girls' intervention group. We work with just small groups of girls and we run an after-school club and we do these sessions. We take them out of class and we do some sessions with them. And tell us about what that looks like and what you've seen already in your short time working for Cribs. What the impact of that is, Hannah?
So it's just a chance for the girls to experience somebody to talk to, somebody who's interested, who wants to hear what they've got to say, giving them a chance to discuss anything that they'd like to in the sessions, telling us how they feel today, what school's looking like for them today, any problems that have happened maybe in the playground or at break time. But it's we also have a scheme of work called Heart Sense, which is about looking at our emotions and how to cope with our emotions, good ways and good techniques to to accept how we feel, and not just up emotions, like positive emotions. We look at down emotions, we look at anger and what that looks like and how we can cope when we feel angry or upset or betrayed. And yeah, it's just a privilege to get to see these little lives who've already been through lots of things, and these problems, these worries for them are real, and maybe they don't feel that they can talk to people about that. Maybe they don't feel that they have a voice, and it is a real chance for them to have that voice and express how they feel, and for us to give them tools to cope with how they're feeling.
It's brilliant. And some of those tools are it's very practical in terms of not only allowing them expression of their feelings, but teaching them how to listen, how to forgive, how to think positive thoughts, how to change the way you think. Are really, really important tools that we all need in life. Yeah. And so it's a real privilege to be able to do that. And, it's a challenge just to... So pray, would you pray for when you think of Cribs, pray for Hannah and her team and Jerry, who leads Boys Noise, and for the schools that are currently... You're working in two schools, and we want more schools, obviously, to come on board, so we can keep doing this. But it's an absolutely massive need in our community. So many girls are growing up with issues, aren't they, with awareness of things. So much pressure on girls with the media and body image and all the things that friendship issues that they cope with, have to cope with. So thank you, Hannah. Bless you.
Thank you.
It's good. This is Hannah. It's good. Terrific. Thank you, Rachel. And so those are the clubs there we're doing. There's the clubs that we also do this work in Lesness Heath. We're doing some really intensive work. So Lesness Heath is a school in Belvedere, and they approached us and said, we've got big issues. And we've got one particular class that had something like, had had like something ridiculous, like 20 teachers in the course of a year or something. It was amazing, just awful problems. And they said, we need you. We need you to come in. So we're doing, for the first time, Boys Noise and BU in the same class, the same time, absolutely giving ourselves to these children. And so we do pray that literally their lives are turned around, and that the situation in that school is amazing. It would be great if from there, you know, that school and what happens in the next few weeks, other schools just think, I need this, we want it. So please pray for that. Thank you. So the other thing to tell you about is the secondary work. And I've got some really good news and also some challenging news to share with you, because Nicola and her team lead the secondary work. And just amazing things are happening, really, on that front. So a couple of years ago, five young men, independently of each other, had an encounter with Jesus over one summer. They weren't in school. They were in summer holidays. And they all had a different experience of Jesus. Some of them at home, some of them in their worship group, in their church, some of them out on a camp, like a Christian residential they were on, in different ways. And they came back to school, Beth's grammar school, absolutely changed. And one of them in particular, who is a very talented footballer, plays for England and Kent. Absolutely, God just got hold of this guy, and he just knew he had to lead a Christian group, you know, start a Christian group in his school. So they've been doing that for the last couple of years, and I tell you what, they meet not just once a week, they meet three times a week. They pray every day for their school. And they're getting between 50 and 70 young people coming along to their Christian group. And they recently got together all the other Christian young people that they knew and got them together for a big sort of celebration and a big sort of commissioning to implore them. And we just helped them. They just came to us, and they were brilliant young men and women who led this this event. And they gathered. They said, we're going to get hundreds. And we thought, what? Young people come into... And they did. They got hundreds. The interesting thing was that only two of them were white. And all these young men and women are all black, and they go to our schools. They're absolutely on fire. And about 30 of them became Christians in one night, you know, one day. I mean, it was just an incredible event. So it's really exciting what's going on. The challenge of that is it needs to spill over. It needs to spread from being the black churches and black young people who are absolutely on fire to white young people, you know, who are being impacted by the gospel as well. So could you pray for that? Some very exciting things happening in schools. And we've just done also just some mentoring in secondary schools. So we like we do with Boys and Boys and BU, we're doing something in secondary schools. And this week we had a most encouraging meeting in Blackfern School here in Sidcup just on Friday. And it looks as though in the autumn we'll have a chance to do some work in that school as well, which is absolutely thrilling for us because we prayed for that for a long time. And I know there are people in this room who teach at that school and who carry a burden for that school as well. So that's really exciting. And we do this mentoring. And we've just finished last week a course for 16 boys that I had the privilege of being part of, just as a pilot. 16 boys, 14-year-olds in Bexley Heath. And absolutely amazing. We got the head teacher to hand them their certificates. And, you know, it was just incredible. Literally, the conversations we had with these lads were just amazing. So we got to pray for some. We got to talk to them, share our testimony. And their lives have been massively impacted. So we're doing this courageous thing called, for these boys. And we're going to run another course in the autumn. Please pray. And if you've got any spare time and something in what I've said today thinks, I'd love to do that. I'd love to actually spend some time with lads. I'd love to just be a mentor. Then we'd love to hear from you because we've got massive opportunities to do this. It's really needed. There are so many young people who just feel lost, who don't have anyone to talk to, who don't know. Nobody's giving them wisdom. And they're just... yeah, just aimlessly sort of going through life. So it's a privilege to do that. So there's so many exciting things, but there's also some challenges in all that. And of course, the need is absolutely massive. I'm reminded of this powerful little picture here. That actually, do you know what? This book, quite deliberately, is called The Word of God. And it's described as being like a seed. And seeds are incredibly powerful, aren't they? A plant can erupt and push through concrete. It's true. Absolutely true. So this picture is an example of given a little gap, it will literally push its way through. There's so much power in a seed. Just one seed. And we've been sharing the seeds of God's word for many years now. And we believe we are going to get a harvest. So thank you for partnering with us in Cribs in the great work of sowing seeds. Seeds of life that will never die, that will lie dormant for years. You know, a seed can just live on, can't it, for many, many years, for decades and decades, and then just at the right moment, it can just erupt. And we're praying for that. The other picture I want to show you is this. Is that actually, for all the work we do in schools, you know, we're in there every day, and children won't remember everything we tell them, that's for sure. They may not remember much at all, but they will remember how we made them feel. And will you pray for us? Because we work hard at the culture of our organisation and what we carry, because we're carriers of something. So I keep telling my team all the time, you know, when you go into school, you're carrying something. You're carrying the presence of Jesus with you. And it's powerful. So would you pray that actually, as we do that, that the memories, the emotional bank of every child will be so deeply impacted with what we carry and that they'll want to know Jesus for themselves. Thank you. So that's Cribs. We've got a website. You can go and visit us and talk to us. Be good. Just before I'm just going to bring some of God's word to you. I feel really kind of stirred up today. So we're going to do that. But before, Hannah and Simon do a little sketch, which you're going to enjoy. I wonder if we could pray. Would you pray either on your own or turn to somebody next to you and just pray for our schools, for our community, for Bexley? Would you do that? For the mayor, for the elections of the mayor, for all the things that are happening at the moment in our country, for this, yeah, anything you want to do. So let's just pause, pray, and turn to somebody next to you if you want, or just pray by yourself. Let's do that. We've got 1 minute to just bang on heaven's door. Yeah, God, thank you, Father.
No, not really. How do you mean?
Well, you know, when I'm out running, I like to try and improve my mind at the same time.
Really?
Yeah. Huh? Oh, you see, you know, like these companies and these people, they come up with these like little catchy, inspirational, motivational sayings.
Uh-huh.
Well, I like to collect them and I record them. And while I'm running,
yeah,
I try and memorise them.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm hoping it's going to make me a wiser person. I've got a right big collection on here, right?
Okay, I see what you mean. You're collecting them all the time?
Yeah, I can't help myself. You know, I just do it. Actually, I'm loving it.
Oh, McDonald's.
You know, and the reason I do it is because I'm worth it. And yeah, every day, whenever I hear a new one, I just got to record it because I find every little helps.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Okay, so have you got any more sayings? I want to hear them. Come on.
Well, you know that Apple computer company?
Yeah.
Well, theirs is think different. Eh?
Hmm.
Eh? What do you think of that? That's one of my favourites, that is, because I do that already. I don't know anyone else who thinks like I do. You know? It's
no,
good, isn't it?
Me neither.
And how about failure is not an option? Eh? Eh? Or what about this? No pain, no gain.
You know, I'm not really sure about the wisdom in that one.
Here's one from President Obama himself. Yes, you can.
Well, look, I can see what you mean. They are interesting, but you know, if you're really looking for wisdom, you might want to try having a look in the book of Proverbs.
Proverbs?
Yeah. In Proverbs, it is absolutely packed full of truth and wisdom.
Really?
Yeah. Do you want to have a look? Here's one. If you want to grow in wisdom, then spend time with the wise. Walk with the wicked and you'll eventually become just like them.
So if you want to gain wisdom, you mm-hmm. keep company with the wise.
Yeah.
Well, that makes perfect sense.
It does.
And if you hang around with the wicked,
yeah,
you'll become like them.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want that, do I?
Well, no, no one wants that.
No way. Oh, that's good, that's good. Have you got any more?
Yeah, there's this one. Anxious fear brings depression, but a life-giving word of encouragement can do wonders to restore joy to the heart.
Restore joy to the heart. I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
Go on.
And there's this. Look. Keep trusting in your riches and down you'll go. But the lovers of God rise up like flowers in the spring. Or guard your heart, guard your words, and you'll guard your life. But if you don't control your tongue, it will ruin everything.
Oh, I mean, they're pretty weighty, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot more going on in them than I've got in my little collection here.
Yeah, there is. Wow. But I'm telling you, Simon, if you are serious about finding out about wisdom, you can't do much better than looking in the book of Proverbs.
I will. I think I will.
Oh, brilliant. You know, even the great preacher, Billy Graham, he read Proverbs every single day, and he said that it transformed his life.
Wow, Billy Graham, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, Hannah, thank you for those.
You're welcome.
They're great.
Oh, gosh. You know, Simon, it's good to talk.
You see what did? Anyway, I'm gonna look into the book of Proverbs.
Yeah.
But I must get off then.
Where are you running to?
To infinity and beyond.
So just for the last few minutes, I really would love to just... I've got a bit of a challenge going on in my head, to be absolutely frank with you. And I'd love to inspire you for 10 minutes to... so that today you go from here and you want to read the book of Proverbs. Now, there happens to be 31 chapters in Proverbs, 31 days in the month of May. So if you read a chapter a day, then that'll be pretty cool this week, this month, starting today. So that's my challenge. I'm hoping that some people in this place will be up for it. Okay, so here we go. It's really interesting that actually this book is full of pithy wisdom, sayings, little things that you would never hear anywhere else. And I want to talk to you about it. It was interesting that it was written by a guy called King Solomon. He lived about 900 years or so before the birth of Christ. And this book is absolutely fascinating. So my title for the next 10 minutes is this. The one thing you need to succeed in life. What is it? Well, one thing you need to succeed in life. I'm going to tell you what that is. Let's start by just reading the first few verses of Proverbs. Oh, no, before we do that, here's the little thing. That's right. I've forgotten I got this. It's this guy called Robert Fulghum, right? He wrote a book quite a few years ago about basically it said, all that I need to know I learned in kindergarten. He said that actually what he learned in life, the most important lessons in life that he learned in Sunday school in the sandpit, which is quite interesting. And this is some of the things that he said that he got to learn, okay? And it's really interesting. This is good. You ready? Share everything. Play fair. Don't hit people. Put your things back where you found them. Clean up your own mess. Don't take things that aren't yours. Say sorry if you hurt someone. Wash your hands before you eat. Flush. And when you go out into the world, it is best to hold hands and stick together. Actually, there's quite a bit of wisdom in that little, just those alone. The trouble is that so much wisdom that we learn in life is not being passed on. Actually, there are children in our schools who desperately need wisdom and nobody's giving it to them. Nobody's really sharing. They've got heads full of knowledge, but that's not necessarily the same thing. So we need to not only learn wisdom, we need to actually pass it on and communicate it well. So we're going to just, for 9 minutes, go now into the book of Proverbs. So how about this? Can you read that? Can you see it? Is that right? So why don't we read it together? This is from the Passion Translation of the book of Proverbs. And if you want to just listen, that's fine. But let's say it together, shall we? Here are kingdom revelations, words to live by, and the words of wisdom given to empower you to reign in life, written as Proverbs by Israel's King Solomon, David's son. Within these sayings will be found revelation of wisdom and the impartation of spiritual understanding. Use them as keys to unlock the treasures of true knowledge. Those who cling to these words will receive discipline to demonstrate wisdom in every relationship and to choose what is just and fair. These proverbs will give you great skill to teach the immature and make them wise, to give youth the understanding of their design and destiny. It's amazing. And there's another slide, but we'll just hold it there. This is just a great way. So here's this book written in the middle of the Bible. It's called part of the wisdom literature of Scripture. And it's 31 chapters. It was written by Solomon, and it's full of wisdom. There's pithy sayings. There's memorable quips and sentences that you can just absolutely dive into and be so good. It's interesting that the Jewish people who had the law given to them by Moses didn't have enough. Because what you just don't need morality to succeed in life. You need more. So just knowing what is right and wrong isn't enough. That we need more than that, because they had the law, right, given to them by Moses. But they needed more. So Solomon writes wisdom in his book called Proverbs. We need more than just morality to help us get by. So what type of literature is this? Well, this is Solomon speaking in Proverbs. Riddles, pithy sayings, truths about human behavior. And he says in those verses that he wrote this to give us understanding, to help, to give us words and insights. And it's really, really good to know that. So this isn't just like a kind of like a self-help book that you can dip into and it gives you wisdom. It's more than that. It's actually so much more in this. Here's a verse coming up. If we move on a couple of slides. Thanks. Next one. There we go. And that's it. Good. Thank you, Rachel. Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. Interestingly, just want to pause on this. Just this is important. That actually, God spoke lots of ways. So you will know the Bible was written by over 40 different people. And some of them heard directly from God. They got words, literally an audible voice spoke to them. Others got impressions. Others got ideas. Some got visions and dreams and they wrote scripture down. Some of them wrote down what they heard other people say to them. So like we reckon Peter dictated one of the gospels to somebody else or had a large part in it. And somebody wrote it down. So people got these messages in lots of different ways. What we find in the book of wisdom literature, in the book of Proverbs, for example, is that actually these were people who wrote this, like Solomon, who was steeped in the law, the Torah. They had to read it all the time, every day. They were expected to memorize it. So as a good Jewish boy, you would be taught to memorize whole chunks of it. You carried it around with you. They actually carried it on their forehead. So that they, just as a reminder, so they wouldn't forget. So these were people who were steeped in the law of God, but they also observed life. And Solomon had a unique gift. He asked for it, and God gave it to him. He got wisdom, because that's what he reckoned he needed to be a great leader, a great king. So he got wisdom, and we've got the benefit of somebody who observed life, who was steeped in the law, who reflected, learned from his experiences, and then wrote down. Now, this book is in the inspired word of God. That's the first thing to say. It's not just a collection of somebody's brilliant ideas. It's not like he was an early blogger that got thoughts down, right, and just wrote them out there just for people to hear his thoughts, you know. No, this is the inspired word of God, right? And it matters to us. So that's really important. Let's just go to the previous slide there, Rachel, because I've got three things. I want to tell you three things. Why was it written? Well, it says it was written to impart wisdom. Now, wisdom, if you want a shorthand definition, it would be skill in living. Skill in living. We all want that, don't we? Yeah? Skill in living. It's not just a function of a person's education. You can be brilliant in your field, but rubbish at doing life. We know people, don't we, who are absolutely brilliant, who could be the best lawyer, the best architect, the best whatever, and actually when it comes to life, oh, God, it's such hard work. And they don't seem to have much wisdom between their ears. So we know that actually wisdom is far more than simply knowledge or expertise in an area. It's not brilliance. It's more than that. Thank you. Let's move on a couple. The other thing I want to say to us is this. What was it written for? Who was this book written for? Well, in those verses we read, it tells us it was written for the immature. In some translations, they're called the simple. Because these are people who are naive. People who are uninitiated in life. And they go out into the big world. Actually, the Proverbs was written for teenagers. So if you're a teen here today, I definitely recommend you absolutely read the book of Proverbs. As I said earlier in the little sketch, Billy Graham has read the book of Proverbs a chapter every day of his life. Every night he reads a chapter of Proverbs and he just swears by it, if he does swear at all. But he absolutely would say it is the most incredible thing that's helped him stay on course and live a life of integrity, Like, he's one of the greatest examples of a follower of Jesus we've known. And he's been steeped in the book of Proverbs. Good advice, good role model. So it's written for the young. It's also written for us, anyone. If you want to increase in wisdom, says Solomon, read, this is my book for you. This is my words to you. Okay? So if you might be wise now, but you can always get wiser, can't you? Like, we're all lifelong learners, and we've got the opportunity for us to absolutely, learn and develop and have wisdom. I love that phrase that we read right at the start in the Passion Translation. It says, if you follow these words, you'll reign in life. Now, that's not the only place in the Bible that phrase is used, by the way, because actually, you know, if you're a child of God, if you know God is your Father, guess what you're called to? You're called to reign in life. That's the legacy. That's the inheritance that you've been given as a child of God. Now, I would love to reign in life, wouldn't you? I'd love to go through life. Whenever life throws up at me, every situation, every challenge I face, every difficulty, I'd love to overcome and look at it from God's perspective and think, I don't have to be defeated, ashamed, minimized by this. I can rise above it. I can live well here. Whatever's going on, I can reign in life. I was fascinated by an interview with Prince Harry and Prince William about their dad early this year, and the occasion of the Prince's Trust, I don't know, 40 years or whatever it was, but it was an occasion of when they were being interviewed about their father, and they said, you know what, the great thing about my dad is, I can ring him up about any issue I've got, and either he knows about it or he knows somebody that does. And he can sort it for me. He can fix it. And I thought, that's fascinating, isn't it? Here's the prince of our realm who's actually thinking like a king. Because he's been trained that way, right? He's trained himself to think, he's like a prince. So anything's possible when you're a prince. You've got resources. You've got wisdom. You've got the means to make things happen. And they said about their dad, he can fix anything. Well, do you know what, brother and sister? We are princes and princesses of heaven, of God. And I want to reign in life so that actually I have the wisdom to make good calls consistently, to know how to use resources well, to steward what God's given me in the most effective way. And I believe I can do it. And I am doing it by God's grace because I'm a son of his and I'm reigning in life. You want to do that? Well, Proverbs is for you because that's going to give you the equipment and the resources and the know-how to do that. So here's the next thing, finally, is how do you get wisdom? How do you get it? Because, I mean, it's all very well. You just read that. Well, it's a bit more than that, isn't it? I want to say to you just as I finish that actually, there's a clue right at the start of this book in verse 7 of Proverbs 1. And it says, actually, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I need a drink. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, which is really interesting, isn't it? Because we don't usually think in those lines, but Solomon says to us, do you know what? If you want to be wise like me and grow in wisdom, you need to, first of all, have a solid relationship with God. The Lord needs to figure in your life. He needs to be central to your life. And that's the first thing. And the other thing is, you need to have a deep respect for God. So fear has a negative connotation for us, doesn't it? Because it's like, when I'm afraid, I want to run away. Right? But actually, the fear of the Lord isn't running away from God, it's running to him. I run away from God, and I've done it, sadly, tried, a few times in my life, stupidly. But I've done it because I didn't know his intentions were good. I thought he had it in for me. I thought he was bad. I thought actually I was disappointing all the time, and I was so deeply ashamed with the choices I'd made that actually he didn't want to know me. I had misconceptions about God, and it made me run from him. But actually, I run to him. And that's the fear of the Lord. But it means coming with a certain posture and attitude that says, he's God, I'm his child, I bow low, I surrender, I come as I am, and I just remember and recognize who I am in his presence. And I don't want to do anything to displease him. He's done everything for me. He's given me life. He spared not his own son, but gave him for me. And he's for me and with me, and I don't know doing anything to disappoint him or displease him in any way. That is a fear of the Lord. And Solomon says, it's the doorway you step through if you want to be wise. So I've been reading for months now, the book of Proverbs. I use the Passion Translation. You can download it got it on my tablet here as a little app. You can get it. It's a brilliant new translation. It's absolutely gorgeous. But it doesn't matter which translation you use. I've got a bit of a challenge going on. We just started May today. Sun's shining. Everything's good. You can read the book of Proverbs, one chapter a day. It'll only take you a few minutes every day. I dare you to do it. I dare you to do it with an attitude that says, God, speak to me. I want to be wise. I want to make consistently good choices. I want to live well. I want to reign in life. So, anyone here in this church, I wonder, who's up for the challenge? It's not much of a challenge, is it? I hope you do. I hope that what I've said today inspires you. There are timeless truths in this book, not only the whole book, but the book of Proverbs. And we in Cribs, we are absolutely work hard to communicate them in the best way we can to the generation that's coming up after us. We believe it will change their lives. And we thank you for your support in that. But there are timeless truths that you and I need. There's wisdom in here. Some of it you have to really dig at and you have to unlock, and it's not straightforward. You have to think about it. But that's why God does that. He buries things for us to find them. Jesus spoke in parables. Guess why? Because he wants you to wonder and question, and he doesn't want people who don't know him to get it. So he hid it in parables. It's interesting. And Solomon wrote in riddles and proverbs so you could go digging. But there are jewels here to find. There's stuff here that will help you at every turn of life. Yeah? I recommend it to you. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you've called us to be wise people, and you've given us the means to gain wisdom and to live well, to reign in life. So help us, Lord. We turn our hearts to you. We pray that our hearts and minds will be softened towards you, and that we will have a healthy respect, a reverence for you that leads us through a doorway of understanding, of revelation, so that we live well as the people of God. And we have resources. I pray that for over this church, you will download strategies, ideas, dreams, thoughts, things that work over everybody's life. Whether in the little or the lot, I pray that they will know what to do and know that they have the resources of heaven to make it possible. Thank you, God. Help us, Lord. Bless this church. Bless all of us and our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to wrap up with a song.
You wrap up. And I know you deliberately haven't forgotten the offering, because we'll probably have it at the end. I fully respect the work that Cribs do, and I'm probably going to step massively out of line here, but the diaconate and trustees of SBC can tell me off later. As a church, we have a budget set, and this year we are over budget. Cribs are 7,000 under budget. I would like to say, and I will make this decision now, that the offering we do this morning, apart from anything that is designated, will go to the work of Cribs. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bless you. That's such an endorsement. And if you want to just put an IOU in the offering, because you haven't quite brought enough money with you, we're grateful to receive it. Bless you. Now, we love your generosity. We love coming here, and we're blessed by you guys, and we speak a blessing over you. So, yeah, thank you, Roy, and thank you for your ongoing support. We're going to sing a song, and then I think the tea and coffee is going to come, and we're going to be able to talk together. Come and grab something from the stand if you want more info. Talk to us. We'd love to engage you in conversation. Thanks.